The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Now.
And welcome into the Morning Rush on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. Appreciate everybody listening in. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason, all in studio with you today. Thank you for making us a part of your day today. And also want to thank all of us here for staying up that late last night to watch the national championship game and still making it to work on time.
I was tired when it started.
Man, that what was it, 8:30 when it actually got tipped?
Yeah, two of us broke.
8:20,
time they got through with it.
What do you think about the laser show they did this year on the floor?
I thought it was cool.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I wasn't sure about all the other pomp and circumstance that they had going into the whole game, like leading up to it. And I don't know. I just kind of felt like I was like, I don't know if is this a college basketball game that we're watching at this point? But that's what the kids love these days, apparently. Yeah. So
yeah, but it was late getting it started. I'll be honest, I did not make one shining moment.
Oh man,
which is my favorite part of the tournament. Honestly,
I can't wait to talk about that then later because I may have a disagreement with you on that, actually. So, but we'll have that argument once we get there.
It used to be the thing. I mean, that was like appointment TV. You know,
yeah.
You'd watch them cut the nets, and then you would, you know, hang around for one shiny moment. But
did y'all watch the game cast, or how did you watch it?
I just watched the regular broadcast. Because I know they had that. I guess it was on TNT, they had the Villanova broadcast, and then on True TV, they had the Michigan broadcast. Which, I mean, I guess is pretty cool, because if you're like a fan and you don't want to deal with those announcers that are being against your team the whole time, like it happens in every game for everybody, then you can watch the Michigan.
That sorry, awful Jim Nance.
Yeah,
what a terrible announcer he is.
Tell you what, he's out to get our team.
Yeah.
Well, and during the game, because the game turned into a snooze fest. And during the game, I just started to, okay, well, I'm going to compare how different these broadcasts are. There's definitely a slant on the broadcast if you watched either one of the team broadcasts versus just the national broadcast.
No, I mean, I feel like it's probably good. I'm assuming that the only people that watch those other two broadcasts are fans that didn't make it to the game.
That was new this year, right? Because I don't remember them doing the team cast last year, but I might be...
See, I don't...
Maybe I didn't pay attention.
I don't remember exactly either. I know that they've done it for football for a while.
Well, right. That's an ESPN thing.
That's an ESPN.
I think this is they've taken a page out of the ESPN book, which they've done with the megacast for football, where they've got, you know, 12 different broadcasts going with different things. And one of those broadcasts going for the national championship in football is the team cast. So,
which I wish they would have done, because
maybe they did it last year. I don't know.
They may have.
I've seen to pay more.
It's
maybe
recent,
just,
though.
Yeah, exactly.
It's recent, though. And if they would have taken the right page out of ESPN's book, they would have had also another channel to view the championship game with the in-studio analysts with Charles Barkley and all those guys, which I probably would have watched that anyways.
Barkley lost his voice or something.
He always does for some reason at the national
championship. Too much talking over the last 3 weeks.
I guess so. Too much excitement for him. But the actual national championship game itself, Villanova wins their second national title in 3 years. Jay Wright's obviously done a good job with him, and we'll talk about him specifically here in just a moment. But I felt like, with all of the things going on in this tournament, with all the great storylines, the Final Four and even the national championship just kind of, man, it lacked the excitement. It lacked the storyline. It lacked any type of interest.
Just the Final Four part or the whole?
No, just the Final Four national championship kind of both together. It just...
The final weekend.
Yes, the final weekend. It didn't really do anything for me. And with all this crazy stuff going on in the tournament, I guess that sometimes you can get spoiled with it because as crazy as it's going to go, you're going to be like, oh, this is going to last the whole tournament. But then when it came down to it, you had a team that no one really cared about getting to the championship, but no one really said that it's a Cinderella story with Michigan. And then you had Villanova where, all right, we saw this 2 years ago, and I guess this is cool because they're a really good team and they're fun to watch, but there's not a lot of Villanova fans. It's not like it's a huge blue-blooded program. So it's just kind of like a big meh at the very end of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were all excited going into last Saturday because of the prospect of Loyola Chicago getting to the national championship and the excitement of the Final Four building up to it, Kansas and Villanova, all that. But I can't remember a more disappointing Final Four in a while as far as the outcome of the games. as far as the entertainment of the game, not the outcome, that's not the right word, the entertainment value of the three contests, they were a snooze fest.
Boring.
Boring. I mean, there was nothing in doubt the last 10 minutes of any of these three games. So, I mean, as far as just being entertained, watching a great competition, unless you just like one team shooting the eyes out of it, which Villanova did, particularly on Saturday and to some degree last night, it didn't hold your attention. None of these games really held your attention.
And that surprises me, too, because normally when you do get the upsets in the first round, it normally makes for a better tournament because usually the tournament corrects itself. Even whenever you have those higher seeds or the lower seeds, however you want to look at it, whenever they're losing in the first round, normally there are enough top teams that the tournament corrects itself. And it just seems like this year the tournament never got a chance to correct itself.
Yeah. But I do think in the end, what we have is a national champion who is truly the best team in college basketball. And you don't always get the best team in college basketball cutting down the nets on that Monday night. I think this year, anyone in here feel like we don't have the best team in college basketball as the national champion this morning?
I don't.
I feel like the best team in college basketball won the title.
Mm-hmm. And in the way that they played pretty much the entire tournament, they were consistent. Everyone kept thinking that, the three-point shooting's going to slow down, which at the very beginning of this game, it really did. I think they were 2 of 8 to start the game from three-point land when they had hit only mere 17 in the previous game against Kansas. So I just felt like at some point it was going to slow down, but it didn't. I mean, they were consistent. They had good defense. They were able to make shots. Just everything flowed well for Villanova, and they were fun. It's just fun to watch. Beautiful. It was a beautiful way of and a beautiful style of play. It wasn't just them going out and jacking a bunch of threes or being messy and having a lot of fouls. It was just very well done, fundamental basketball, and it was fun to watch.
I thought Villanova did a good job of weathering the Michigan storm early in the game. Michigan, I thought, used a lot of their energy and a lot of what they had up early to get what lead they had in this game was out of the way. And then Villanova's just their domination took over. Their edge with talent took over at about the 10 or 15 minute mark in the first half. So
let's go to the phone lines early, 877-377-6963. Melanie is in Harrison. What's going on, Melanie?
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
I am ecstatic that Villanova won. I don't know where you guys come off saying they don't have a fan base. Obviously, you know nothing about
that. Whoa. When did we say that? When did we say they don't have a fan base?
You said that just before I called. That's why I called. I was a little upset, and I'm like,
you didn't say they didn't have a fan base. They just don't have one here.
Well, that's okay. A lot of places don't have, you could go anywhere, and you could go to Seattle, Washington, and say, have you heard of Missouri State? Have you heard of Arkansas? What? No. What are you talking about? Every area has their own fan base, especially in an area like the East Coast where you've got 6 to 10 teams or universities, colleges that are within a 3-hour drive of one another. I mean, that's just the way it is.
What's the point?
Well, it just sounds like you're bashing them.
We just said they were the best team. They're the best team in college. We just said that we felt like this year was a year that the best team won it. How are we bashing anybody?
But you were disappointed.
Because the games were no good.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the teams. It was just the games were trash.
The games weren't very exciting. That Villanova was so good, the games weren't very exciting.
I thought they were exciting. I thought the sad part was that Michigan relied so heavily on the one guy, and once they shut him down, that their game was over. I felt bad for them.
Yeah, once they couldn't get it to Mo Wagner, you're right. I mean, they did a good job of not letting the ball get to him.
So they really shut it down. I mean, yeah. I was surprised that they. That's the beauty of a team like Villanova. Or go back to when the Lakers were winning every championship every year. Everybody that comes off the bench plays just as well as everybody that's the top five. I mean, they come off the – look at DiVincenzo. I mean, he
Yeah. But don't misunderstand what we're saying.
Right. Yeah.
Villanova was the best team in the tournament. There's no question. Villanova was the best team in college basketball. They were so good, they made the games boring. That was the point to our conversation, John.
Yeah, and because I didn't have...
Thanks for the call, Mel.
Yeah, I appreciate it. But, I didn't have any issue with Villanova being in, or as soon as Villanova and Michigan got in, and I'm like, oh, crap, this is going to suck. I can't stand it. No, if it would have been a great game, like, say, 2 years ago, and I know it was different teams, but when it was Villanova-North Carolina, where you had a back-and-forth game, and it was a buzzer beater to win it all...
Or when Villanova won it 2 years ago, and it was, a shot that just went in.
That's what I'm saying. Years ago. And I'm just like, that would have been like automatically where it's like, okay, I didn't care about who won. I didn't care really about the teams, but I was entertained to the very end.
Exactly.
And that's really all I ask, because I don't care if Michigan won it. I don't care if Villanova won it.
Didn't matter to me.
Or Kansas or anything like that.
I had Villanova in my bracket. My bracket was so busted, I didn't care who won last night.
Yeah, I didn't have a single team. I take that back. I had Villanova. It was my only Final Four
team. That was my only Final Four team, and I had Villanova winning it all.
I have Virginia, and we saw how that played out for me. Yeah. So,
what happened to them, by the way?
I heard something
did
about
they lose?
Them.
Yeah,
gone fishing.
Where'd they go?
Early.
They went missing there pretty early. By the way, can I pat myself on the back? I don't know if y'all saw this.
Oh, Lord.
Before the game started yesterday.
Lucky guess.
Whatever. I said Nova by 17.
If you guess before, but here's the thing. If you guess before every game that is played, you're bound to get one of them right.
Have you seen me guess before every other game?
A lot of games.
I usually do Razorback games because, it was easy to pick them to lose this past year for football. So, but I just wanted to give myself a little credit.
How many of those did you get right?
Four? The four games I'd say
you
win.
You hit the point spread perfectly?
But no.
You hit the point spread perfectly in four games?
Okay. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I was saying on my little prediction, now I missed, I guess, three more because I said they'd win seven before the season started. But I was actually going into it. Some of them look pretty hairy, though. Those Coastal Carolina and Ole Miss games were it was down to the wire. So, but either way, no, I had to give myself a little credit for that. But it was just back to the championship game. Wasn't as great as what I was hoping it to be, but it was fine. It wasn't a terrible game, but it was just a decent game. Yeah. So, but anyways.
Decent at best. I thought it was a terrible game.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's just me.
We'll talk more about some of the terribleness of this tournament and some weird things that were going on as well. 877-377-6963 on this Toyota Tuesday here from the Morning Rush. We're going to keep the conversation going. We'll get into some spring football. And also Chad Morris, head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, will be joining us tomorrow on the show to preview the spring game and talk about spring practice and all of that fun stuff. We'll get to that and more on the other side. This is the Morning Rush.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in to the Morning Rush. I'm John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. Thank you for making us a part of your day today on this Toyota Tuesday. It's been a great time talking about college basketball, talking about the national championship game. And just remember that you can go and check out all new 2018 Toyota vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer today, including the Highlander with plenty of room for up to 8 people, the Work Ready Family Tough Tundra, or you can go anywhere with the 4Runner Toyota. Let's go places. So with the national championship game concluding last night, obviously, again, I think we can all be in agreement that it wasn't the best championship game of all time. Nick thinks it was terrible, but yeah, either way, I think we're moving on from it. It happened. Congrats to Villanova.
And now, don't get me wrong, I do like the fact that Jay Wright has now made history, and he now starts to give us conversation on who's the second best coach in college basketball, because I do think we go Coach K one, and then from there is a discussion. Who do you have at that second place? Do you have Jay Wright? Do you have Roy Williams? Do you have Bill Self? Who is really in that second spot? But as far as the on-the-court game, Nova dominated Michigan about the last 15 minutes and just wasn't a good basketball game.
And speaking of Michigan, this is something I wanted to bring up. That's not necessarily just basketball-related, but there was a stat that was thrown out last night on Twitter that, I guess,
you know, you don't really think about it as far as Michigan and the success that they've had of winning national championships in football or in basketball, the two major sports, because let's be honest, those are the two major sports in college. And if you have a lot of money, you have a big university, so you're part of a Power Five conference, like a school like Michigan.
And one of the few teams to be sponsored by Jordan.
Jordan, yeah, Team Jordan. You would expect that there would be a lot of success, national championship right. success. But get this stat. Since 1948, Michigan has won 1.5 national titles in football and men's basketball combined.
How do you get a half?
I guess
they shared a football.
Yeah, it was back when they would have shared national championships. Because I guess what was it, 1997? Mm-hmm. They or 98? 98, I guess it was. They technically shared a national championship. But either way, that's for a program. That's not since 1948. And you could even make the argument that Arkansas technically has two national championships. Mm-hmm.
Since
1948.
You shared one in.
So think about how crazy that
64
is. A Michigan program in the two major sports, which, let's be honest, Michigan is a much better program than Arkansas when it comes to football. And in right now, technically basketball.
Not when it comes to national championships.
But that's the thing. Not when it comes to national championships. So when I saw this, I started thinking about it. Michigan, what you brought up Team Jordan. The amount of money that they have. The amount of attention that's brought to them. The amount of success that you seem to have, at least, it hasn't really translated into national championships into the two major sports. So it makes you wonder, how in the world has Michigan become this icon? Especially, I think it's more talking to football because they've had some good basketball. I mean, obviously the Fab Five, that, you know, they've had some big times there. But there's nothing that really stands out for where you're like, man, Michigan is a great program because of the national titles they won, because they haven't won that many. I felt like that was a very shocking stat because you just assume, oh, Ohio State and Michigan, great rival. Ohio State, they've won national championships in football. They've played in a couple. They've been there in basketball, nearly won one when they had Mike Conley and Greg Oden. I mean, you just felt like, oh, okay, so it must be a pretty balanced thing when it comes to success. Not the case. I mean, Michigan might be considered one of the more overrated programs in all of college sports.
It's definitely something that I don't think we would have guessed. If you said, how many championships do they have over, how many years you said it was? 80 years or 70 years?
Yes, since 1946.
Right. Over the last whatever amount of years, how many national championships have they won? I wouldn't have guessed 1.5. I probably would have said, oh, you know, they probably won 4 or 5 or 5 or 6. But when you really start to think about it and you really start thinking, okay, how many great teams have they actually had over the years? And I mean, you know, start to come up a little blank, but then it goes back to what I've been saying. I don't think every program out there puts their eggs in national championship or bust. There are some in college basketball, Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, Nova, Kansas. Those are about the 5 or 6 teams that say if you don't win a national championship, it's a bad year. College football, Georgia's probably there, but I don't know if Georgia's there, because even as disappointed as Georgia was that they didn't win a national championship, people aren't mad at Kirby Smart for losing.
Yeah, in the second year to be able to do what he did.
Whereas had Nick Saban of not made the 14 playoff, or if Nick Saban just won 10 games and didn't win a national championship, people would really be like, you know, that was an average year.
Bama wants to fire him.
Right. And so there are probably just, 10 total teams and basketball and football combined that put all their eggs in. If you don't win a national championship, then this year was a failure.
But my problem is that if you're a program like Michigan, though, where you have every advantage when it comes to recruiting, you have all the money you could possibly have, just ask Jim Harbaugh, because they're paying him an arm and leg. They wanted to give him a lifetime contract. You're playing in a conference that's, it's gotten better, but it's still pretty winnable when you have Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan State kind of being your rivals. It's a place where you can easily get a bunch of big-time recruits in. Well, I guess I don't get how you can have all those things but not translate it to national titles.
If we start with football, though, where are the best football players from? And Tommy brings this up all the time. You know why Georgia is going to be a problem? Well, look at
the Atlanta area. It produces more great college football players than anywhere.
Atlanta area, and then I think the Louisiana area produces more pros
per capita than anywhere.
The Mississippi area is great. Well, all these places that I'm naming, Texas is great.
Yeah.
All these places I'm naming, Florida. You think a kid's going to go from Florida to Michigan or Florida to Alabama?
Yeah, but how's Ohio State done it?
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. How's Penn State done it?
And I think with those two, I don't think we give enough credit to great coaches.
Which I completely agree. I mean, Urban Meyer is a fantastic coach, and Jim Tressel was a good coach.
Just because you have that name, I do think that a lot of us get caught up a lot of times in, okay, well, this is a name guy. But that doesn't necessarily always mean he's a great coach. People will tell you right now, the best basketball coach in the world is Brad Stevens. And he doesn't have the same name as a Phil Jackson or Pop or Cal or Coach K. But there are a lot of basketball minds that will tell you, hey, I'll take Brad Stevens over any of those guys if you're playing with a full deck of cards. And so I think the recruiting, though, definitely in football, because in football it matters your location, even though Ohio State has done it, Penn State, some other schools. For every one of those schools
Michigan
you can
State
name,
even.
Though,
yeah.
But for every one of those schools, I can name you five or six in the South or whatever that have done a lot better.
Right, but okay, so even, and I agree with you on that, but take it one step further. When was the last time Michigan was even truly in contention for a national championship? I mean, they haven't even played in the national championship game.
Their football program
in
probably,
the BCS era.
Probably has been the most overrated football program over the last decade.
Yeah.
And I don't think it helped with this recent hire, because now you're like, okay, you're going back to the national championship. Yeah. He wins, what, 8 games a year?
He's finished third for 3 straight years
every year.
The Big Ten.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't see how at this point in time that you look at the Team Jordan thing. I know no one says, oh, well, that translates to wins. No, but to have that, I mean, that's got to be given to a really particular, really special type of program. And it's been given to them, and of course, the marketing that Jim Harbaugh's done, that's been big, too. But to just have it to where it hasn't translated into the biggest parts of success is a little weird.
Arkansas can be Michigan. And I don't think that is a stretch. If you look at the success that they've had in basketball and football, or lack thereof, however you want to say it. I mean,
well, the question is that who you want to be?
Do you want to be Michigan? I think it's a step
I'd sign up for it.
Really?
I would. I'd sign to know every year that you're going to finish top three in your football conference, and to know you're going to win 8 games, and then in basketball.
But never a title.
In basketball, you're going to be in the NCAA tournament every year. You'll make a couple runs. You may go out in the first round a couple of times. I think that's very.
It's a better situation than you're in now.
Yeah,
I agree. But
you don't want that.
It's not the promised land.
Yeah, you don't want that to be your standard as far as when you get to that point. Because let's be honest, too, Michigan with their recruiting classes and all that too, they brought in a lot of great players. I mean, there was times where Jabril Peppers, I believe was his name. I mean, he was the number one player in the country. I mean, they've had some guys come in that have been really talented. They've just been unable to translate it. And so I think that's what even makes it worse when you talk about it. It was the same thing with Brett Bielema. And then what Jim Harbaugh is kind of going through right now, obviously Jim Harbaugh is having more success and winning more games. But when you come in with all of this mentality, this cockiness, You're spending the night with kids, your kicker, and for on recruiting trips. You're having sleepovers. You're going to WrestleMania. You're just all over the place. You're doing all these random things and trying to get your name out there, but it doesn't translate to wins. It makes the situation even worse, where people are almost rooting against you, openly rooting against you, because you're coming off as kind of a tool, and no one wants to root for that. And so that's also
at some point you got to back it up with winning.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And again, I feel like that was Brett Bielema's biggest thing. No one hated the way Brett Bielema carried himself, as long as he won.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't win, nobody wants to see that.
Yeah.
So,
hey, it's Masters Week, and I know a lot of golf fans are excited about that. You also need to be getting excited about the Legends of Golf coming up later on this month at the Big Cedar Lodge, and it was announced yesterday. In further detail about Tuesday, April 17th, some guy named Tiger Woods is going to be putting on a kids clinic as part of the festivities that week at the Legends of Golf. So you can get your kids signed up and get more details online at BassProLegends.com. They're going to do a golf clinic and a fishing clinic. Bill Dance is going to do a fishing clinic for the kids. Tiger Woods is going to do a golf clinic for the kids at noon on Tuesday, April 17th. So pretty cool, one-of-a-kind clinic that you can get your kids signed up for. More details online at BassProLegends.com. All of it kicks off April 17th through the 22nd. You can get your tickets now online at BassProLegends.com. Use your MasterCard, and you can save 20%. Get tickets for $20 apiece. Saturday, April 21st is Family Fun Day. And on Sunday, the 22nd, a celebrity skins game. Mark Wahlberg is going to be there. Actor Kid Rock is going to be there playing golf with Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino.
And so wait,
that's going to be a lot of fun.
Kid Rock.
Going
to be there.
Yeah, Kid Rock and Mark Wahlberg. So it's going to be a lot of fun in this nine-hole feature event as part of the Legends of Golf. All the details online, free parking, tons of great stuff going on. And you can enjoy it all with one ticket there when you go to BassProLegends.com. That's BassProLegends.com or call 888-347-4426.
Going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, more of the Morning Rush. Stay tuned.
This is Toyota Tuesday on the Morning Rush. Get by your local Toyota dealer for a test drive today. Toyota, let's go places.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Download the Morning Rush podcast anytime at hitthatline.com and free on iTunes. This is the Morning Rush.
Hey, welcome back into the Morning Rush on this Toyota Tuesday. Appreciate everybody listening in with spring football. You know, I can really tell, too, about the level of excitement for a lot of Razorback fans when you even bring up football. Yeah. And I've done this probably in the past 2 weeks, anytime I put it up on Twitter or anything like that. Either one, it doesn't get much traffic. Not many people respond to it. Or two, when they do respond to it, they say they don't care. And I don't think that's anybody. I'm not saying that's everybody, but at least it's a good indicator. And there's a lot of things that is going to have to be done for people to start getting excited. But it's just like, is it as simple as saying that people will get excited just when you start winning games? I mean, is that how long it's going to take?
I think people will be excited when they start seeing it. I think people
actually
will,
seeing football in person.
Well, I mean, this Saturday, whether they show up at War Memorial Stadium or they tune in on the SEC network and they get their first real taste, and let's say the timing of when spring practice, I think some of this has been by design. They've kind of hidden spring practice a little bit this year, hidden around basketball season, hidden around spring break, hidden around the NCAA tournament March Madness, because it's an unknown. You don't, you know, when you're uncertain about your product, you're going through a whole new installation. You're trying to, I mean, again, we're running around with players out there with tape on their helmet with their name written on it. We're trying to figure things out, right? So, you know, you're not ready to unveil the product to everybody by any stretch of the imagination right now. So, I get where this coaching staff is at. You don't really want to invite everybody into the restaurant to have a meal when you're just now, you know, you're not even ready for the grand opening yet.
Yeah. So, no, that's a good point. I think that's got a lot to do with it, and there will be people that get excited after seeing the spring game, especially if it ends up being an exciting spring game where you have some big plays made by some players that maybe you don't know much about or you've been waiting to see. Like Nick brought up in the previous segment, Brandon Martin. What has Brandon Martin done? He was the number one player in JUCO. He was a big wide receiver. People thought him as a possession guy, you know, 6'3", 230 pounds or whatever. It just seemed like he had all the makings to be a big-time receiver. What has he done so far? Nothing. So if he goes out there in the spring game, has a few catches, maybe makes a few plays, people start being like, oh, man, I can't wait to watch Brandon Martin this season. Same thing with a T.J. Hammonds or Chase Hayden or whoever. Mm-hmm. Same thing if it ends up being Ty Story, if he makes a lot of great passes. Or if Sosa Agim is just a monster down there and he's stopping and runs. If there's some players that can just have some highlight little pieces and people say, ooh, man, where's that been? Okay, I'm going to look forward to watching at least. It may not just be the team, but watching this one individual and see what he's capable of and see him making plays too. Because that's another thing too, is not only is a new coaching staff, but you're looking at essentially a whole new team. There wasn't a whole lot of playmakers last year, if any at all. And now any playmakers that you might have had are all gone. So now it's like, who's going to be the playmakers, if any, on this team this year? I got to wait and see who it is.
And make no mistake about it, even if 10 people show up to War Memorial, there will be tens of thousands of people that will be tuned in to the red-white
game
sure. at some point to see. Because to say that there's not excitement, I think that's the wrong terminology. There is excitement. Now, I don't know if people are going to drive to Little Rock to watch this team play, but there will be a lot of people tuned in at some point during this scrimmage to lay their eyes on Arkansas, and probably more so at the beginning, because at that point, I think I saw that we will be seeing ones on ones. I used to hate whenever it was ones against everybody else, and I just
really ones part of the twos against part of the twos and all the everybody else.
All the threes and all the walk-ons.
Yeah. So the ones always looked really good.
Because the ones
was amazing.
The ones wasn't 22 players on the team, you know.
Right.
There's always a lot more than that. So, yeah, I get what you're saying, Nick. Yeah.
Right. And just to be able to see the ones on the ones at points in this and really and at the beginning and just being able to see the quarterbacks both with a similar hand. Like, both of the quarterbacks are going to be playing with ones, and they're going to be against ones, whereas it's not like the second-string quarterback with all third-string guys playing against the first-string defense. Well, that's probably what I'm most excited to see.
You leave in that situation, like we've seen the last few springs, with a false sense of security where you're at on both sides of the ball. This is a little better measuring stick about where you're at, and there's going to be mistakes. I mean, you can't have a new and I would expect the defense to look better than the offense because they're going back to the old system that they had. Defense generally tracks ahead of offense. It's quicker to pick up. I think they got some good players coming back that just need to be turned loose a little bit. Offensively, I don't know how much they're going to stretch the field, how much they're going to go downfield. That will be an interesting thing for me to observe. How many of these passes are just going to be behind the line of scrimmage, bubble screens, stuff out into the flats, short passes? I think a lot of the passing game will be very short passes, extended handoffs almost like.
I also want to see how the quarterbacks handle with the hurry up. Is there going to be false starts? Excuse me. Is there going to be a lot of delay of games, not getting guys lined up right? You know, I feel like there's going to be that in this spring game. So if people start freaking out saying, well, it's going to be terrible based off of that, don't do that. That's stupid. Don't base it off of that, because that's going to happen when you're trying to install.
Nothing drives you nuts more than you can't get enough men on the line of scrimmage, or you just keep shooting yourself in the foot with false starts or self-inflicted penalties that back you up behind the chains. Nothing just drives you more nuts than that.
Yeah, because it's the simple
when you can't get out of your own way. The simple stuff you're in control of, at least be in control of that and not beat yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, this is spring football.
Spring football into a new system. Now, if they're doing
it into September and you're doing that, just
there's a it's nothing's worse than that.
Going crazy.
nothing is worse than that. And that was something that, you know, Brett Bielema always talked about. Oh, we're going to be fundamentally sound. Well, no, you had a lot of penalties there too. So how does Chad Morris really not only physically get these guys ready, but mentally get these guys ready?
What was it, 2012, the John Hill year where you could not get lined up right, and you had five backs. You did not have enough men on the line of scrimmage, play after play, game after game. I mean, it was just nothing more frustrating.
Mm-hmm. So, or seeing after a timeout that was being called, the team gets out there after a timeout and still lines up incorrectly or false start or whatever.
Those are the kind of – can you avoid those kind of mistakes in your final practice of your first spring?
Because if they can get over that and develop it into where they are fundamentally sound, then the talent-wise at least, yeah, you're going to lose games at, but at least you're not beating yourself. You'll be able to overcome some adversities and some disadvantages where you don't have the talent or you don't have the experience – but you'll at least be able to say, okay, we're not going to cost ourselves 5 yards, 15 yards here and there. We're not going to have a lot of turnovers. We're going to protect the ball. We're going to do the things that, like you said, Tommy, we can control. Because if you can control those things, guess what? You're going to be in a position to win the game in the end 9 out of 10 times. I mean, why do you think Nick Saban and Alabama have been so successful. Yeah, talent. Yeah, scheme. Yeah, all of that. But a lot of it is attributed to the fact that they don't turn the ball over. They don't make penalties. I mean, I'm not saying they're perfect, but as far as compared to other teams, they lower that. So how are they going to be disciplined when it comes to these games? Because it's a fast-moving offense. You got to think quick. You got to be on your toes 100% of the time. And sometimes it is possible to go too fast. So will this team be team that goes too fast?
What in life, when you do it faster and faster and faster, do you get more accurate and are less mistake-prone?
I can't think of nothing off
the top
of my head.
The faster you play a round of golf, the faster you pitch a baseball or taking it back. I mean, just go through anything you do in life. The faster you drive a car, the faster you play cards, the faster you do anything, and you does that generally lead to fewer mistakes?
No.
The faster you cook a meal, the faster, generally the faster you do anything, the more mistake-prone the process is, whatever that is. The faster you hurry through something at work, is it generally more riddled with mistakes?
Every time.
Usually.
Yeah.
So why would this be any different? The faster you try to run an offense, for a while it's going to be more mistake-prone.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be interested to talk to Chad Morris about it and see if he's going to have to adjust his coaching style with what he's got. For instance, if they're struggling to get out of the huddle and get on the line and get lined up, is he going to have to scale it back a little bit? Is he going to have to say, okay, let's slow it down just a little bit to try to get these guys to the point where I need them to be? Is he going to slow down his play calling? Is he going to have to slow some things down to get them in position?
Accuracy in your alignment, your assignment, all of these things, getting the right play call, the right personnel, all of that's more important than speed of the snap.
100% of the time.
Every day. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're going to run the play wrong, you're going to have poor execution. To do that fast doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah. I'm curious to see 877-377-6963. Where's your excitement for the spring game? What are you looking at for the spring game? And what are you expecting to see out of the spring game? There's a lot of different questions going on with that. Yeah. And I'm curious to know. And then you can also tweet us at Morning Rush Show, too, for any of those. Thanks.
Hey, the fishing has been outstanding at Gaston's White River Resort on the White River, one of the best places you're ever going to find to take your family, to get away, maybe take some clients and enjoy a wonderful getaway to entertain clients is Gaston's White River Resort. They've got everything you need there. Great cabins, great lodges, everything you need for a group of two or a group of 22. They can handle it. Or maybe you're trying to put together that company retreat where you've got to take the sales team out and you need to have about a 4 or 5 hour meeting in the morning, then what are you going to do in the afternoon or vice versa? You want to have some fun and entertain everybody part of the day, and then you want to get down and have some serious meetings. They got meeting space for that with their resort and conference center. They're on site for you as well at Gaston. So be sure and call them at 870-431-5202. A lot of pictures and details are on their website at gastons.com that you can see exactly what I'm talking about. And then, of course, a great restaurant and bar at the end of the day to make sure you can unwind, kick back, and everybody can have some laughs and enjoy a great meal together at Gaston's. I was up there just a few weeks ago over spring break, and everything about it, from the fishing guides to the restaurant to the housekeeping, everything is just first class at Gaston's White River Resort. 870-431-5202 for reservations. Gaston's White River Resort, a first-class time every time.
This is... Broadcasting live from the Toyota studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
hitthatline.com.
I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason, all in studio with you. Thank you for making us a part of your day today. Guys, I'm excited. I got a big announcement. I'm so excited. Guess who's coming to Little Rock to Verizon Arena in concert? Just announced right now.
JT.
Boom. Justin Timberlake's coming in.
Oh, I'm the wrong JT.
Oh, man, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. But the problem is I will have to wait because he's not coming until January 17th of next year. So it's the tickets go on sale in April, but it's going to take a little bit until I can actually go and see Justin Timberlake. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, because when he first came out, I tried to do a look about getting tickets. It's going to cost me about $300 a piece to sit in the nosebleeds. I love JT and all, but I don't know if I love him that much. So anyways, I just wanted to make that announcement to everybody. Maybe there's some people out there listening that are JT fans, although I doubt as big of fans of me.
So. I'm a fan of the other JT.
Which is?
James Taylor.
I like James Taylor.
The original.
Taylor. I like James Taylor.
JT.
Did he actually go by JT, though? Like, was that kind of a real thing?
In my house, he does.
Okay. Because anytime I think of JT, I think of Justin Timberlake. But again, I'm me, and you're you. And, I have no problem with James Taylor. But
there's no question Timberlake is very talented.
Okay. Well, thank you. See, as long as you can just admit that, then that's
good. That Super Bowl halftime was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, and it was better than what it has been in previous years, needless to say. So, anyways, I just wanted to come out and make that announcement. So, and speaking of music, I know it's not.
I'm not a Timberlake hater.
Okay. Well, thank. Well, then we're good. Then we're good.
Now, if you talk about this every day until January of 2019, I may become one.
Well, that's too bad. I was actually planning on doing that, but that's okay. You know, you're the boss, so I'll make sure that I don't do that for the rest of the time. But hey, speaking of
music. For mankind, or for Nick's sake, or my sake, or everybody in the building's sanity, we appreciate that.
Yeah,
especially after his average Super Bowl performance.
He said it was. Tommy said it was good.
It's good.
Okay, I will admit though, his latest album was not my favorite. It was not.
Went up the stairs into the stand. I mean, I thought that was a pretty cool part of the performance.
I did too, but Nick hates.
I mean, he
things.
Played all the hits. You know,
Nick hates and he hates happy things. He hates loving things.
So. I didn't say I hated it. I just thought it was average. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad.
Yeah,
but it wasn't good. Average.
Which was better, the halftime show or Michigan Villanova last night?
Oh, the halftime show.
Okay. Yeah. We'll take that as well. Well, speaking of music, I know it's not Monday, but I do have a quote unquote hot take that I want to made known, and this is something that me and Tommy are probably going to argue about. Do you guys remember this after the national championship game?
I love marks.
Play your game, have some fun.
Now I gotta take it to a different level. This is a different level.
The thing that makes you guys special is you never quit.
We deserve to win this game.
Make history.
We kind of all wanted to be in the one shining moment video.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Damn, let's get going.
The ball is two, and there you go.
Okay, so that's really all I need.
This used to be one of the best parts of Championship Night. And then they changed it.
They try to modernize it, you know?
Yeah,
it is a Mark's miracle.
It used to be something that they did that kind of hooked you. It was a tradition to keep you through the broadcast so you'd watch the commercials. That was really why they did it, right?
Yeah.
So that you would stay around, watch the nets get cut down, and they kept promoting it. Greg Gumbel would always say, one shiny moment coming up. How many times they promote it, you know?
Oh, I know. Well, see, the thing is like,
it's not what it used to be.
I don't like it. I never have been a fan of it. And I it's just because it's
never?
So cheesy. No, I haven't. Even when I remember watching as a kid, because I was a huge Razorback fan, watching the national championship game on the VHS tape that my parents recorded it on. And after seeing the ceremony and the trophy and all that stuff, all the excitement, ending it with one shining moment, mm-hmm. I was like, this is lame. It's cheesy. And again, I understand people like it, but I look at it and I just think like, okay, this is it's a lame song. I'm sorry.
The original, what was it, Luther Vandross version, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
I always thought, because it was always pretty well put together, pretty well edited, had the best. I mean, it was a great capsulation. It was a great way of summing up, if you will, the biggest highlights, the biggest moments of a 3-week experience. You know, and, you know, because the tournament was about Cinderella's. The tournament was about the upsets. The tournament was about that buzzer beater shot. And you kind of mashed all those together for all those one shiny moments, as the hook says, as the song says. So, but they've went too far with it now.
Yeah.
It's run its course, I guess, is what it's
saying. So what would you replace it with?
Something else. I mean, it doesn't have to be a song. Why do you have to do anything at the end of it? They don't have a song like that after the NBA playoffs. You know, imagine if they did the NBA playoffs with one shot. I mean, you don't have to do anything.
The tournament, I mean, for a lot of I think that the draw to it is you get so many teams like UMBC that it's their one moment, it's their one opportunity, it's their one shining moment to be in the limelight, to be in the spotlight.
I just think it's corny.
I think a lot of people agree with you.
Yeah, but some people like it because of its corniness. When I think about college basketball, when I think about one shining moment. I mean, just if you don't hear the song, I mean, this is the lyrics: the ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star, mm-hmm. and all the years, no one knows just how hard you worked, but now it shows. That one shining moment, it's all on the line. One shining moment, frozen in time. It's just cheesy, and it's like one of those songs that you can tell is probably, because when did it probably start being used in college basketball in the national championship game when it came out? It's dated.
It goes back to the 80s.
Yeah,
I guess,
very dated.
But you have all these great moments every year in the NCAA tournament. All these great buzzer beaters. All these great highlights. You know, I think it's a great way to sum up the tournament every year.
Nick, you haven't even chimed in, and you're the best.
I mean, as a player, wouldn't it be something you want to have your moment shown
if
there?
If you win a national championship, you definitely would like to be out there for as long as possible and have your moment shown and all that. I had a buddy who texted me the first couple of times I saw it, whenever they would put the highlight video together of all the top moments, then I think that's a pretty good video, and that's pretty cool. But then I had a buddy who texted me. He's like, yeah, but if you watch the tournament, you saw all those moments live, so that's not even that cool. And then I had to agree with him on that. So yeah, I agree with you. If you're not winning the national championship, I do think it's corny. If you are winning the national championship, though, I don't think it's corny.
Well, if you win the national championship, and I can at least attest to this a little bit, when the Razorbacks won it, it wouldn't matter if Stephen A. Smith had a video of him just screaming at everybody about the Arkansas Razorbacks and them winning the national championship and speaking nonsense. People would have that video and they'd love it. Just because anything associated with that national championship, even though they hate it before, yeah. You know, if you hate somebody like, you know, if you hate us, for instance, you hate this show, you hate every one of us. But if Arkansas won the national championship in football, you'd tune in, you'd listen, you'd call in, you'd record it, you'd talk about it. It would be a big deal to you just because you won the national championship. So it's almost like, yeah, it's a cool moment if you won the title. But all the other teams, like for Arkansas, what they got to see Big Red running around.
But what if you're UMBC? You're the team that you're the 16 that beat the one.
You got two clips in it.
Right.
Sweet.
So it's probably to me, if you're one of these, you know, big underdogs and you get your moment, you have the big upset and you're in that, that's probably something that as a school.
But like, don't they put everybody in it?
I don't think everybody gets in it.
No. That was in the tournament?
Well, yeah, because they take a play. It's just, do they reflect you in a negative or a positive light? Because I think last year, every time Arkansas was in it, it was like a North Carolina highlight.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because the media hates Arkansas, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And the referees, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's against
Arkansas.
And the announcers. Yeah. And I'm sure, who would you say that was?
Concession Stand.
Yeah. The One Shining Moment. Who was that song?
Luther Vandross did the original version of it.
He hates Arkansas,
yeah,
too.
Probably.
Yeah. I think it's in the song somewhere subliminally that it's just, I hate Arkansas.
You play it backwards.
Yeah, you play it backwards. He talks about how much he hated Arkansas. So, but I don't know.
Satanic version.
Maybe I'm way off, but I think it's cheesy. I think it's corny. If you love it, fine, but it's not for me. Not for me.
All right.
I like the video.
Fortunately,
though,
you only have to live with it once a year.
Thank goodness.
Hey, right now you can get by Crabtree RV in Alma, exit 13 off of I-40. It's camping season, and they've got a great selection right now of pre-owned motorhomes, fifth wheels, and travel trailers that you can buy at a fraction of the original MSRP at Crabtree RV. They've taken in a lot of trade-ins lately. It's springtime. It's here. And Crabtree RV would love to help save you a lot of money. So buy right now at a fraction of the original MSRP. Shop today, Crabtree RV, next to the Cracker Barrel in Alma. Crabtree RV, it's where your family's dreams come true. Friday night, the Naturals open up their season at Arvest Ballpark. Beth Presley is here. Also,
I'm throwing out the first pitch.
That would not be a shining moment.
No, it would not.
It would be one shining something, but it would not be a shining moment.
It would definitely go viral.
It would go viral. Beth is here. She's going to join us next. We're going to talk about the Arvest Bank's 1 million meals, and they're kicking off that campaign Friday as the Naturals open their seasons. We'll do that coming up. So.
Sounds good. I'm excited about the Naturals baseball season. It's a fun time to go up there and hang out.
Good time.
Yeah, I'll be there.
And Nick's going to be there Friday night.
Throw out the first pitch. If I continue to say that, somebody's going to let me throw out the first pitch.
And you want to throw out the first pitch?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Why not? Underhanded.
Have you ever thrown a baseball?
Yes, I've thrown a softball a couple of times in my life. Maybe like when I was younger, just throwing
Have you ever thrown out a first pitch at a ball game?
No.
No, okay.
I'll be all right.
Make this happen.
Athlete. Yeah.
Northwest Arkansas Naturals, if you're listening right now, please make this happen. Man, I would love to see that. Love to see how it would go down. Appreciate everybody listening in. Take a commercial break. When we come back, more of the Morning Rush. Stay tuned.
This is Toyota Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.